When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Rams start this drive from the 33. Stafford going deep downfield, and he's got Nacua to the 16-yard line. Hook and Nacua got free. The Jamarius Ward, biggest play of the night.
Now back to overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett, with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
One way to feel a little bit better after a rough Niners loss is listen to some of that new Kendrick. Appreciate Cam Williams for bringing us back with that to get us fired up as we possibly can be after this rough Niners loss. 12-6, the final score at Levi's tonight. The Rams come into Santa Clara and knock off the 49ers. Rams improved to 8-6. They are now nearing the top of the NFC West as they wait what happens with the Seattle Seahawks this weekend. The Niners fall to 6-8. Niners will stay last place in the division no matter what else happens this week. And their season is not officially over, but it is essentially all over for the 49ers this year. And guys, we've been talking a lot about Deebo Samuel, talking a lot about Brock Purdy, talking a lot about Devondre Campbell, who quit on this team, refused to go in the second half once Dre Greenlaw went down. I want to focus just for a second on a little bit of a positive, and that positive was watching Dre Greenlaw play football in the first half. Oh, my God. Yes. I don't know how you could watch that first half when the Niners were on defense, because offense was an entirely different story. But the Niners on defense, I could not stop smiling watching Dre Greenlaw flying around. Was involved in like nearly every tackle. Yeah. He was everywhere in that first half. And if I did not know any better, like if I just got like went into a coma before the Super Bowl and then just woke up tonight, I would have been convinced that Dre Greenlaw has been healthy all season and did not tear his Achilles. He looked as good as he always had in that first half.
Yeah, man, he was awesome. And it just like, it's so, the 49ers, when he was playing, had two of the five best off-ball linebackers in the sport.
Yeah.
Yep. And they were so perfectly, their skill set so perfectly fit what is needed to attack modern offenses. And I think missing Greenlaw was a huge reason the 49ers struggled this year. And they replaced him with a 32-year-old who can't move anymore, which is always a baffling decision. But it was so apparent just in, because he's clearly not 100%, but you see how he can move laterally and the way he gets downhill against the run and just how aggressive he is. It's like, man, thinking about an off-ball linebacker having that big of an impact, like, I don't know. But then you watch him and you go, man, they probably have two more wins this year of Dre Greenlaw's playing.
Yeah.
It's just different.
He has been sorely missed. The way he plays, how he plays, the energy in which he plays with, it's infectious. It makes me want to get up from my couch while watching on TV being like, yeah, I want to lay somebody out too. Like, I want to play for that guy. like, watch out. No, but he just, you could like, the way, like, he got hurt running off the sideline onto the field in the Super Bowl, and it changed the entire game. They were locking down Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
He had one catch for 1 yard. Mm-hmm. Arguably the greatest tight end in the last 20 years. He was a non-factor in that game until Greenlaw got hurt. And mm-hmm. we've seen this year, and look, Devondre Campbell, his play has been subpar, to be nice about it. At times, he's played better this year. The last 4 weeks has been serviceable. But they've had a massive hole at that linebacker number two position. And you can tell the minute he stepped on the field tonight, that defense went from 15th or 20th to top five again. It felt mm-hmm. like they were yep. a monster that could stop mm-hmm. anybody. And it gives you a glimpse as to what this season could have been and what next year hopefully will be for this team and this defense. Yep.
Yeah.
I get it. They had decisions to make, Hufanga, Greenlaw, Mooney Ward, Hargrave, and others. But if they sure. can bring Drake Greenlaw back, the infectious nature in which he plays football permeates through everybody. Mm-hmm. And you talk about getting dogs back, being dogs. Hufanga's a dog. Greenlaw's a dog. You tell me two players you got to bring back next year? It's those two people.
Yeah, and yeah. talk about how beloved Greenlaw is in the locker room. This was Nick Bosa post-game tonight on Dre Greenlaw. Quote, it was great to see him. He's probably my favorite teammate to ever play with in college and pros. He's an absolute dog, and he's showing it after a year of not playing and looking like that is pretty impressive. Nick Bosa, high praise for Dre Greenlaw, calling him his favorite teammate ever. And this is a guy in Nick Bosa who's played with a lot of really talented players, both at Ohio State and now with the 49ers as well. Let's go back out to the phone lines, 888-957-9570. As overtime continues, the Niners fall to the Rams today, 12-6. Their season not officially over, but it is basically over at this point at 6-8. Up next is Dylan in Sacramento. Dylan, what's up? You're on overtime. It's Grandy, Kyle, and Sterling with you. How you doing, Dylan?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Well, we're hanging in there. How are you?
Same here. You know, I'm usually a little negative, but I got inspired by some of the other callers to spread some positivity. So I wanted to say something positive about Devondre Campbell. According to Johnny Marks of Pro Football Focus, when Devondre Campbell was on the sideline in the second half, that was the closest he was to making a tackle all season. Also,
got him. Wow.
Also, that's about it. Now to get more negative, I'm going to say,
out of bed.
Yeah, I was a big Brock Purdy supporter. I'm a huge fan. You know, I thought we had a franchise quarterback. And I'm still a fan, but today, you know, the loss stings a little, and I have Steelers fans hitting me up on Twitter for arguments I made back in August where I told them they would be lucky to have Brock Purdy as their quarterback because they have bumps, you know, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, well, and now I have to eat it. And, you know, it just makes this sting a little bit more.
That's fair.
Yeah, Dylan, I feel you. And
Debo Samuel of your friend group right now.
Here's the thing with Brock, and I don't want to misconstrue this like I think he's bad at football or anything. I just think the 49ers need to ensure that if he's going to be their quarterback, it needs to be a really, really good infrastructure around him, because he's not going to be the player that he's not going to be Patrick Mahomes and winning a Super Bowl with whatever the heck that receiving core was last year, right? Like, he's going to need a really high quality offensive infrastructure. And I think to do that, they're going to need to allocate financial resources to players that they wouldn't be able to if he's making $55, $60, $65 million. And so it's finding that sweet spot of like, okay, you want this guy to be your franchise quarterback, that's fine, but you need to make sure you're supporting him the right way. But you also got to make sure he's paid. So finding where he's paid well enough, but also leaving enough meat on the bone where they can go get, they can invest in the offensive line, or they can go invest in a wide receiver or a second tight end or whatever it may be. That's where I'm at with Brock.
Well, let me ask you this, because I get what you're saying, and maybe the conversation becomes, and maybe Brock's side of it is open to the idea of, well, you know what? Like, it's not a bad thing to take a little bit less and allow the team to be a little better around mm-hmm. me. Like, there's a legitimate argument for that. But, like, I can point you towards the other game against the Rams this year when Brock was without George Kittle and Brock was without Deebo Samuel and Brock was without Christian McCaffrey, and he put up 292, three touchdowns, no interceptions. He was awesome in that football game. He was incredible in that game. He would have had 300-plus yards if Ronnie Bell could catch, and they would have won that game. Like, I know that there's been a larger sample of this season being average, subpar, way subpar for the standards Purdy has set for himself, but this is also just an abnormally bad game for Brock Purdy, too, right? And I know, like, the way in which we're thinking of this is, like, the Bills game and the Seahawks game before that, and this game, like, it's a recent stretch of some relatively poor play, but legitimately against the same exact team earlier in the year, and I know the Rams offense week three was entirely different, but the Rams defense week three and the Rams defense now, similar, like, this was a game that Brock Purdy absolutely dominated last time. It's not an excuse for tonight, but, like, the ability is still obviously there.
Yeah, that's why I would still pay him money to be the quarterback. I'm not saying you got to cut the guy or saying you got to trade him. I just don't, I don't think that you pointed to one game in week three. There's
just
several other games.
Just because it was the same opponent. But yeah, there are other games too. Like last week against the Bears, he was very good.
The loss against Arizona, he wasn't very good. The New England game, he wasn't great. That was the week after that Rams game. Chicago, he was awesome. I thought he was about as perfect as a quarterback can be against Chicago. But that Buffalo game you mentioned, weird circumstances for sure, but still didn't play well. The Seattle game, he wasn't good the week before that. Like, it's just, he's not been so terrible that you're going, hey, you're not going to pay him. But to me, I went into the season going, yeah, he's probably going to make $60-plus million next year. And he just hasn't played up to that level. And I just I think the 49ers should ensure that they're maximizing their resources to support him because he needs it. I don't think
that's
unfair.
I've been jostling with this question of which quarterbacks, what kind of quarterback would be able to fix the mess that are the San Francisco 49ers? Is it just Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson? Is it just those tier one elite guys? Nah. Or can a tier two quarterback, say it was Sam Darnold this year, is playing great, a Jordan Love this year, a Jalen Hurts, could those guys be able to pick this team up and carry them? And while you can have conversations of, well, one throw here, one throw there makes a difference, sure. You can argue arm talent here or there, fine. I just don't know, like, which quarterbacks in the tier that Brock is in, probably that tier two of quarterbacks, or below him, that could actually, like, lift San Francisco to a playoff run this year. I don't know who could. Like, that's what I'm like, okay, if you're going to pay him in the offseason, fine, and the market is the market, that's what it is. You know, you can't change it unless he's taking a pay cut or not going to get paid as much, but that's his choice, not the Niners' choice, right? He has to say yes to no to that. I just don't know which quarterback you can get that could, you can pluck anybody in that tier that Brock's in or below it to say, yep, that guy makes a difference here this year. I'm not sure there is a quarterback that does that. And maybe that's me trying to justify paying Brock $65 million because they probably will, although I hope they don't. Like, Brock has played really well at times where you're like, wow, that's a $65 million quarterback. I'm good paying that guy. But game on the line against the Cardinals, throws an interception. He hasn't been great since the bye week. He hasn't been great since the Dallas Cowboys game. That first half, he was terrible. He was good in the second half, but he hasn't been.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Brock Purdy. Now, maybe there's injuries you don't know about. Maybe there's things going on behind the scenes we have no indication of. But we don't know that, so we can't judge it. So if you're saying, would you pay Brock Purdy $65 million today? No. I have to see more. Tonight's game is an example I've seen too much of the last 6 weeks that won't let me buy into him completely just yet.
Yeah, the way I look at it is if you're going to pay a quarterback a record-breaking deal or anywhere near it, you should feel absolutely great about it. And when you think about paying Brock $60 million, even $55 million right now, your emotion, and I think I speak for the majority of Niner fans now, is not, yeah, we finally got the guy, he's the franchise quarterback for the next 6, 7, 8 years. It is, oh my God, how are we going to build a good enough roster around this guy when we're spending that much money on the quarterback?
Yeah.
And if you feel that way about a potential contract to that quarterback or to any player, you probably should not sign that player to that contract. So I think you guys are right in that the conversation shifts to then, okay, what is the number? And that's what the Niners are going to have to grapple with this offseason. Let's go back out to the phone lines, 888-957-9570. Eli is in San Ramon. Eli is up next. What's up, Eli? You're on Overtime on 95.7 The Game. How you doing? Eli, you there?
Hey, sorry about that. Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're hanging in there, Eli. How are you?
Doing good. It was quite a wet game, and just trying to dry up. You know, I kind of understand where you guys come from with the whole Greenlaw and Campbell situation. But you kind of have to feel for Campbell. I mean, like, dude was starting all year. Dude did decent, and you know, Greenlaw's Achilles didn't hold up. Like, I understand both sides of like the perspective. You know, I was still kind of, you know, not really up to play if I was him.
Eli, I think we all flatly disagree with you. I don't understand Devondre Campbell's side at all, and every single person in that Niners locker room does not understand it. He was signed, as Sterling pointed out the very beginning of the show, he was signed to be the starting linebacker next to Fred Warner until Dre Greenlaw returned. Dre Greenlaw returned tonight, and then once Devondre Campbell was needed again, he did not want to play, and he let every single one of his teammates down in that locker room. Every single one of them. And as far as I'm concerned, Devondre Campbell is stained for the rest of his career, and I would not be shocked, as you guys both have said, if he never gets another job in the NFL as a result. There are few things in an NFL locker room that hurt your reputation more than quitting on your team. And that is what Devondre Campbell did when his team needed him, and there's no coming back from that.
Is there another layer to this, though? And, Mark, I agree with you. I agree with my take from the beginning of the show. So
I agree with me.
Yeah. But I, again, playing devil's advocate, I wonder if it's not the Dre Greenlaw return that's the problem. I wonder if it is the Niners electing to start D. Winters over him. Like, why can't I play with Greenlaw and Fred?
Well, too bad. Be better, Devondre.
I mean, again, I agree with you, Mark, but I wonder if that, or I wonder if San Francisco offered him, hey, we'll play you all three together, but you're not going to play the position you played all year. Like, we have no idea what the conversations behind the scenes were, but the fact is that he told the team, I'm not playing, and when he got a chance to re-enter the game at the spot he's had all year, when Greenlaw couldn't go, okay, like, now's your chance to walk in there and take your spot again and prove, hey, I should be playing more even if Greenlaw's healthy, he's like, nah, I'm good. Like, you effectively took yourself out of the game and also maybe took yourself out of the rest of your career. Like, it's a dumb decision by, yeah. I mean, by a player that his career is, like, hinging on this year.
Yeah, if the whole Sam linebacker thing, that's not a position he'd played in this defense. That could have been a mess, a real mess if they put him out there.
Been pretty fun to watch, though.
Yeah, maybe. But like, if this isn't he got mad at practice this week and said, well, if I'm not starting, then I'm not suiting up, and he was a healthy scratch. Okay, then I'll see what the caller's saying, and, you know, oh yeah, you know what, he was mad, and he said he didn't want to play. Like, okay, but he suited up. His team was relying on him.
He was
one of their 46 dudes who was active.
Yeah, you wasted a spot on him.
Yeah, and he said no. You've got people putting their bodies and lives on the line, and you're just going to not play because your feelings are hurt? I'm sorry, the culture of football, that doesn't fly, man. You can't do that. That is just, I don't know if you guys saw the Josina Anderson tweet. Josina Anderson, who's with whatever she does now, the Exhibit. No, there's no need to jump on to instant job loss. She's responding to Treverius Ward. He should be given time to share his mindset, to commune with his teammates after more time to reflect and to demonstrate better judgment. He had a week to reflect. You've been known Dre Greenlaw was going to come back. Commune with his teammates? He left his teammates. You don't get to commune after you bounce. That sucks. What, he did a bad thing. There's no more communing. These guys went out there. They put it on. Fred Warner is out there. Yeah, one of you guys, I forget which one, said this earlier. You got Fred Warner out there playing with a broken ankle, putting it all on the line every single day for the 49ers. Nick Bosa playing through an injury. You got Brock Purdy potentially playing through an injury. I don't know if I agree with that, by the way. But anyways, you got guys banged up, beat up, playing. And, oh, I didn't get to start when I thought I should.
Charvarius Ward is playing shortly after the death of his child.
Yeah.
And it's Charvarius Ward who said,
come on,
who said it definitely hurt the team. He's probably going to get cut soon. And that's the answer that Josina Anderson is responding to. This is the dude, Mooney Ward, despite the on-field struggles, has shown up for his team in his moment of mourning. I can't imagine what Mooney Ward is going through. I can't imagine what Trent Williams is going through. And you are healthy. You're available to play. You don't say anything about your desire to not play until the game is actually going on and you are dressed. Oh, my God. You are done. Get out of the league, not just the organization. Get out of the league. You are never playing football again.
Yeah, man. Like, look, Deebo Samuel struggling and talking on Twitter and struggling on the field. Okay, fine, whatever. Like, we can be mad about that and we can discuss it. Brock Purdy being up and down this year, we can talk about it. We can discuss it. The Devondre Campbell thing, it's not a discussion for me. This isn't a let's see his viewpoint.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Like, that's it. This is cut. This is dry. That is, it's as easy as it gets, man. That was terrible.
And, like, what could the viewpoint even be? Why am I not playing? Well, Dre Greenlaw's back. But, okay, what? But what? Today, Junior, you're not going to play. Like, I'm sorry. You're not as good as Dre Greenlaw, even when he's off a torn Achilles. And it showed in one half what this defense could look like when you are not playing.
The Rams scored 44 points against the Bills last week. At halftime, they had three.
Okay, Devondre Campbell against the Rams literally got called for a DPI in week three that cost San Francisco the game as well.
Yeah, like,
against the same team, he was terrible. And that offense was way worse then. Like, Devondre Campbell has played worse against backups to backups than, like, why would you even think you have the right to start over a near all-pro player that has been on the NFL top 100 list twice. That was the reason they were shutting down Travis Kelce in the Super Bowl. Like the goal to be like, I should play over that guy. You want to play over Fred Warner too? Like, do you want Robert Beal to play over Nick Bosa? What is the mindset? Like, let's see how it feels. I dare him to walk back in to practice this week. I dare him. He will get booted out of that locker room so fast. It'll be rightfully deserved.
He's not walking back into practice because he's not going to be on the roster. I think that's kind of the bottom line.
Yeah, I guarantee you at some point you'll hear the breaking news sounder here on 95.7 The Game tomorrow morning, and it will be DeVondre Campbell cut by the Niners.
I expect that roster move to happen with the quickness.
Yes.
I do love the idea that DeVondre Campbell, and this says a lot about what the 49ers thought about DeVondre Campbell, that he said, well, if he starts, I'm not going to play. And they went, okay, great. So Drake Greenlaw is going to start.
Bye.
All right, man. We'll see you in the second half. What?
Made that easier for us, I guess.
Yeah. So that's why I'm not gonna turn this into a bigger thing about the state of the 49ers. Yeah, and it's not a good thing that it happened, but it was really clear that hey, this is a guy who was here for one season, was only going to start until Drake Greenlaw came back, and then when that thing happened that he was here for, he quit.
Yeah,
And at
one point, this dude was an all-pro when he was with the Packers, but remember last offseason, shortly after he signed with the Niners, aired his dirty laundry with the Packers for all to see on social media. So this isn't necessarily like a terrible surprise, I guess you could say. You don't expect that, but if you were maybe to guess it happening, you might have pinpointed that guy for it to happen with. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got more to get into. We got some more calls to get to. Lars, I see you, Craig, and Telmo as well. We're coming to you on the other side. The Niners fall to the Rams today in Santa Clara, 12-6, and their season essentially over. We got more to get into. It's Overtime with Grandy, Kyle, Sterling. More next on 95.7 The Game.
In front, second and 11. 5.5 left in the fourth. Taylor is the running back. Purdy going for it all, and it's going to be picked off in the end zone. Darius Williams on an overthrow, and the Rams get the takeaway.
Now back to Overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett, with sounds from the locker room. And your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
Yeah, welcome back. That was Al Michaels on Amazon. If you were watching here in the Bay Area, you probably watched it on your local Fox affiliate or wherever you watched it. It was Al Michaels calling the action, and that was the Brock Purdy interception looking for Juwan Jennings in the fourth quarter. It was a Niners deficit at that point, down by 3-9-6. They were driving, at the very least, looking for a field goal to tie the game. But instead, they throw an interception, and then the Rams get the ball. And what happened, Sterling, was, I think, basically what we all expected to happen, because the Niners' offense did not touch the ball once again from that moment on. It was the interception, and then just Kyren Williams, like, for 4 yards every single carry, it felt like. A couple of completions, a big third down conversion here or there, and the Rams essentially killed the entire clock, got a field goal to take a 6-point lead. Niners had a chance for a Hail Mary, but couldn't really get anything off. Brock Purdy was sacked, and the game was over. At that point, you don't really blame the defense, because they were on the field so often in that second half. You're down Gray Greenlaw, as we talked about. DeVondre Campbell refused to go in the game. So many things working against the defense in that moment. But that Brock Purdy interception was backbreaking, and they never had an opportunity to redeem themselves. And the way that game went, Sterling, even if they did have the chance to redeem themselves, it might not have mattered. That's how bad of a day it was for the offense.
Yeah, let's say they had, I don't know, a minute and a half left on that final drive that ends in a sack, funny enough. Do we even believe they'd make that drive?
Probably not.
All the way down? Like, okay, like, will maybe like, oh yeah, we have a chance. But it's like, really? Do you really? But it is fitting that you brought up Kyren Williams, who after the game told the media that we're the big brothers now. Wow. In regards to sweeping the San Francisco 49ers for the first time since 2018.
Three straight wins. Then I go, over the Niners.
They've earned it. Now, one of those games is a backup game. And yes, you could argue that, okay, well, they didn't have Christian McCaffrey, didn't have Brock Purdy, or Brandon Ayuk. They had Brock Purdy, didn't have Brandon Ayuk, didn't have George Kittle and Debo Samuel for the one early in the year. Like, there's reasons as to why San Francisco lost, and injuries is a big one for sure. But the Niners offense today, 191 total yards. That is the lowest by a Kyle Shanahan offense in his entire 49ers tenure.
And that includes some terrible teams.
And that includes that terrible mud game in Washington in 2019, where it was 9-6, I think. Like, we're talking about Brian Hoyer and CJ Beathard and Nick Mullins and the elements and Trey Lance that, I mean, everything that this team has been through, this was the worst offensive output they have ever had. A very fitting end to their season, which isn't even over yet. And funny enough, they still kind of have a shot.
Yeah,
they have a shot, Mark.
Stop it.
They got a chance, brother.
Stop it. I will not have any of that. The season is over, Sterling.
Come on, Mark. It's not over yet. It's not over till Devondre Campbell sings. And from what I can tell, he ain't singing anytime soon.
Not singing for the Niners. Can I tell you? Go ahead. Tell me how it'll happen. Yes.
Just to give the fans.
They need like 27 things to happen, all go their way, probably.
The Niners have to win out, which includes games against the Dolphins, the Lions, and the Cardinals.
Okay.
They have to have the Commanders lose at least three games. Okay.
That's three of their final four.
Yes. The Cardinals have to lose in week 15 against the Patriots or week 16 at Carolina, which isn't maybe out of the question. Carolina's playing better. And Drake May looks legit in New England, albeit the team isn't that good. The Rams have to lose their next three games, and the Falcons have to lose at least two of them. I know all of those things may not happen, but the Falcons aren't playing well. The Cardinals aren't a great team. And maybe, just maybe, the rookie season of Jaden Daniels falls apart late, although not likely. If you're looking for a smidge of hope, and maybe you're out there being like, let's be positive, there it is. You still got a chance somehow if you want to cling to that.
So what you're telling me is now the only way it happens is via a wild card spot. You need everybody fighting for a wild card spot to lose a chunk of games, because you're not catching the Rams or the Seahawks atop the NFC West.
Yeah, you had to win today to hopefully then be able to beat the Cardinals in Week 18 to even your division score. You lost today. You're 1-4 against the division. You're 0-3 against the NFC West at home this season.
Man.
Just an atrocious season by the San Francisco 49ers. And maybe this Devondre Campbell stuff can unite them, though. Could you imagine, just hear me out. Could you imagine if they beat the Lions this year?
That would be a Christmas miracle.
Like, what? Like, they're that angry and they're like, we're going to go out there and spoil someone's season. What if they beat the Lions?
Considering the Lions will very likely need to win that game to get home field and the bye, the one seed in the NFC, that would shock me like nothing has shocked me in a very long time. That's how bad this Niner football team is at the moment. You're right, though. I mean, it could be a unifying moment. Everybody hating on Devondre Campbell, that could be something that helps, but I don't think it helps bridge the gap between what this Niner team is and what that Lions team is. So,
well, it makes me wish he would have quit 4 weeks ago, because then he would have had a better shot to make a run.
Still have something to play for, a realistic shot. Yeah, come on, Devondre. If you're going to be a bad teammate, do it a month ago, not now. We're going to hear from some Niners players, and we'll hear Shanahan again on Devondre Campbell, but we got a couple of callers that are waiting that I know want to talk about Devondre Campbell as well. Up first is Lars in Pacifica. Lars, what's up? You're on overtime here on 95.7 The Game. What do you want to say about Devondre Campbell?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I was at the game. My voice is a little hoarse because I was yelling so much. So I was just so upset and mad with this Niner team. But I think that we need to put some things in perspective here. We've had two players lose a child and they are not complaining, and they are going to work and getting their job done. We've had a player almost get shot and killed in a robbery, come back and play football, and this guy is mad that he's played horribly the entire year, and he's going to be a crybaby and say, oh, just because Dre Greenlaw's back, I'm mad they're playing D winners, even though he's 10 times more athletic than me. Like, give me a break. This is a disgrace to anybody who's ever put on a football helmet and has been on a Band of Brothers, which is a football team. Devondre Campbell is emotionally weak, and he is a disgrace to anybody who's ever played on the San Francisco 49ers. And I just couldn't believe it. I didn't even know that had happened until I was listening 95.7, sitting in the parking lot waiting to leave. And I just can't believe that he quit on this team, when that's just unacceptable at any level of football. That's all I got. I'd love to hear your guys' take on those things. And it's just ridiculous. And I hope he never plays for another down for the Niners ever again.
Yeah, Lars, I think you're 100% right in everything that you said. And I know you're waiting for our response. I mean, I don't have a ton to add. You are 100% spot on. And, you know, I've never played football at a high level, played a little bit growing up. And, you know, you get the sense that even at a lower level, the camaraderie around a football team is different than the camaraderie around any other sports team you play. Like, it's one thing, you know, in basketball, another thing in baseball, and, you know, some of these other smaller sports. Like, it pales in comparison to, like, the brotherhood that you form on a football team. And again, this is coming from someone who never played football at a high level, but just being around college football teams, professional football teams, you can sense it. And that's why this is so offensive to everybody in that locker room. And these are the kinds of players and the kinds of people that the Niners in the Shanahan and Lynch era, Sterling, have actively tried to avoid over and over and over again. And they if you got a truthful answer out of them this offseason when they signed Devondre Campbell, they might have told you they were worried that he wasn't necessarily like a fit in terms of who the guy is, not who the player is. They probably had concerns on that as well. Like, you were scrambling to try to find a starting linebacker in a free agent class that wasn't great. And by the way, that you didn't have a ton of money to spend anyway. You had to try to be creative. And they were probably forced into a decision, into signing a guy they didn't really believe in, maybe both as a player and as a person. But what else were they going to do? They needed somebody, so maybe they sacrificed some of their beliefs in terms of the kind of guy they want to bring in. And you saw what happened today. He hurt the 49ers in a way that few other football players have hurt them. It's one thing if you're just having a bad day, or simply if you don't have the ability, like, okay, like, that's understandable. That might still get you cut. Like, hello, Ronnie Bell, it got you cut. You're simply not good enough. Sorry, but, like, it is what it is. That's more respectable than just quitting on the football team. And that's what Devondre Campbell did. He could be the best player in the NFL. You quit on your football team in the middle of a game that you have to win, you're gone. Sorry. Out of here. Goodbye. It just makes it easier because Devondre Campbell at this point in his career is also not a very good football player.
And maybe it's because of our connection to this team, but this team, this roster, these players have been through so much together as a unit. They've lost two Super Bowls, lost multiple heartbreaking NFC Championship games. They've been to the brink and have somehow found their way eliminated in the last seconds. And they've been through the injuries, again, children being lost and being shot, and this accumulative like pile of just terrible things that have happened to you on and off the field the past four or five seasons or so. So the bond of these players is so tight that we have been through so much together, and we're going to go through anything and everything together as a group, as a unit. Like, this team is what you want your roster to be compiled of. People so bought into each other that, okay, we're not having a great year, we're now 6-8, but we're going to see this through. If we don't make the playoffs, that sucks, and we're going to hope to revamp next year and come back at it once again. Devondre Campbell essentially told the team tonight that I'm not one of you, that I don't want to be one of you, that I'm an outsider that was brought into a group to play for 13 games, and I did my job, you didn't respect me, and I'm going to say goodbye. When in fact, the San Francisco 49ers were the perfect fit for Devondre Campbell in regards to an opportunity to revitalize his career. Like, nobody else wanted him. And he was like, okay, but now he's taking advantage of that. Well, you have burned a bridge that you desperately needed to have. And, I mean, there's not really much else to say. He's not been great this year. He's in his early 30s, which is pretty old for a linebacker. He's slow, not a great coverage linebacker, is not great against the run anymore. Like, there really is no reason to carry Devondre Campbell on the roster or any for forever now. Like, this is it. It's over. And he's going to go on his own terms. And unfortunately, his terms aren't very good. They're pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Not much else to say. Let's let Kyle Shanahan say it. Here's what Shanahan said post-game about Devondre Campbell.
What happened with Devondre Campbell? He didn't play, and he went into the locker room at some point?
Yeah, he didn't, said he didn't want to play today. Yep.
The coaching staff?
He did when I asked him why he didn't want to go in. So.
During the game or before?
No, that was in the third quarter.
Kyle, has that ever happened to you where a player said they didn't want to play in a game?
No.
He got demoted for this game, right? I mean, he was not going to play?
No, he was going to go in when Dre came out.
Will you release Devondre Campbell?
We'll figure out something, but I don't know that right now.
Did he give you any reason why you didn't want to play today?
No.
Campbell, I mean, to hear players say, I don't want to play today, does that create dissension, especially knowing that at this point in the season, with the type of season that this has started out to be, you kind of need as much camaraderie as possible to be successful. Does that create dissension amongst the team, or did it not really affect anyone? Did no one really notice?
People notice, but when someone says that you move on. You don't deal with that anymore.
So that was Kyle Shanahan post-game on Devondre Campbell. What about one of the leaders of the team, Brock Purdy, starting quarterback on Devondre Campbell?
Yeah, I had no idea. I mean, obviously, I'm trying to focus on the offense and where we're at. I didn't know until after the game, to be honest, that Devondre, you know, was not playing. And, I don't really know what to say to that. So,
similar answer, I think, here from Nick Bosa on Devondre Campbell.
I didn't know till now, but until I know more about the situation, I'm not going to talk about it.
Nick Bosa doesn't want to talk about it. There is also this from George Kittle, who was asked about Devondre Campbell postgame. Here is Kittle.
I didn't really hear anything about it until I got in the locker room, so it's all brand new information to me. Look, if you're on the roster, you suit up, you're expected to play. I think anyone in this building that got asked to go in, I would say 100% of everybody would die to get on that football field. And so, you know, people are going through random things off the field. I can't speak on that. You know, whatever, you know, his decision was, it wasn't for this organization. It wasn't for this team. And, no, that's on him. So, not very happy about it. I would have something to say. I wish I would have heard about it on the field. But I didn't. Is that the reason we lost? Absolutely not. But it's hard to win football games when someone doesn't want to play football, especially when you're suited up. It kind of puts you down, especially when you lose two linebackers. And, you know, I could address another one.
Here's one more from George Kittle on Devondre Campbell.
That is one person who just decided not to, you know, play for his teammates. And I don't think that doesn't make our offense look at each other and be like, wow, man, you know, we're falling apart. It's more of a, or like the defense, hey, we're falling apart. It's more of a one person making a, like Mooney said, a selfish decision. And I'm with Mooney on that. And I've never been around anybody that's ever done that. And I hope I'm never around anybody that does that again.
Strong words from George Kittle about what Devondre Campbell did. And if you missed it, he refused to go in the second half once Dre Greenlaw had to check himself out because of fatigue in his calf after he came back from his Achilles injury. And it does not seem serious. Seems like Dre Greenlaw is going to be fine, which is great news there. But in the moment, you needed a linebacker, and Devondre Campbell did not step in. You hear a team leader Sterling, like George Kittle, have strong words like that. It's very rare you get that kind of tone from George. He is always the upbeat guy who's trying to take the positive side of things. He could not spin that positively, and so many of his other teammates essentially refused to comment on it because they had nothing nice to say. George Kittle, as openly negative about something in that locker room as we have ever heard him. That this is a big deal.
Good, and they should be. You should not stand for what Devondre Campbell did in any locker room, on any team. If you don't want to be here, don't be here, fine. But it's funny and very fitting that Devondre Campbell's last tweet states,
uh-oh,
no matter what you do in life, people are going to have an opinion about you, so you might as well just do it your own way and live with the results. That was 8 days ago on December 4th. Well, Devondre, you did it your own way, and you're living with the results. What? Just what a mentality to live by. I get it. Be your own man. Make your own choices. Fine. I get that. Be a little proud. Cool. You want to go out there with confidence? Fine. You want to create your own path? Great. You are an older, aging, over the hump, past your prime, 33, 32-year-old linebacker that can't afford to do things his own way. His own way is not working. And tonight you want to go out there and quit on your team. Fine. Live with the result. Never play in the league ever again. If that's what you want, fine. And look, if Devondre Campbell is going through something that we have no idea about personally, we wish him the best. If it's something insane and crazy, which 2024, I wouldn't put it past it. If that is the case, we wish him, take care of yourself, brother. We want that. But if it is simple as, I didn't get to start because Dre Greenlaw came back and I refused to go in, and the way Shanahan worded that didn't sound like it was only in the third quarter. It sounded like he was supposed to go in when Dre came out. San Francisco, if you believe the reports early in the morning, by I think Ian Rappaport, said that they were going to ease him in.
Yep.
So they were going to start him.
He played the majority of snaps in the first half. Greenlaw did.
Right, so my assumption was that wasn't the plan, but he felt good enough to play the whole first half.
Yeah.
And so they were going to relieve him with Devondre Campbell, and Greenlaw said, no, I'm good to go. And at that point when Greenlaw was like, hey, like my leg's acting up, that's when Campbell said, nope, not happening. Which is also an insane thing to do. Like, you're the next man up, man. Like, that's your job. Now they have to play Demetrius Flanagan Foles, who's even a bad special teamer in the biggest game of the year. Like, what do you, like, it's just a mind-numbing decision by a grown adult at their job. If me and you decided to not come into work one day because we didn't want to, we'd probably get a call by our boss, like, what's going on?
Well, that's one thing. It would be showing up, like, to use me as an example, it would be showing up to help run our afternoon show, and the second our afternoon show starts, tap out and go home.
Right.
Like, it's one thing to not show up. It's one thing to call in ahead of time and say, hey, boss, can't make it in today. Sorry.
Right.
Not feeling up to it. You give, your boss enough time to figure out, plan B, but you show up, you suit up, essentially you're ready to go when called upon, and then when you're called upon, nope, sorry, bye-bye. Like, no. You're gone. You're gone. It's over. It's over, and that's what Devondre Campbell did today when Dre Greenlaw couldn't keep going in the second half. Let's sneak in one more call before we get on out of here. Craig in San Leandro has been waiting patiently. Craig, we appreciate your patience. Take us home, Craig. What do you want to talk about?
Okay, now, I can't believe that you all have spent this inordinate amount of time talking about one guy. I can't believe it. Instead of talking about why this team is broken and what it's going to take to fix it, the game is won and lost in the trenches. In the trenches. That's where the game is won and lost. We a Swiss cheese offensive line has come back to haunt us. Our offensive line, they cannot pass protect. Most of the time, A Purdy is running for his life. They cannot run block. When our running backs run into the line, they run into a brick wall. When their running back runs into our line, they gouge us for 5, 6, and 7 yard runs on first down. Let's stop talking. This is not golf. This is not tennis. Is DeAndre Campbell the reason we lost this game tonight and the reason we've gone from the Super Bowl to the toilet bowl?
No, he's not the only reason, Craig. And appreciate the call. And you are right. And we have talked about it. We spent a lot of time on DeVondre Campbell because, newsflash, it's a big deal when a football player quits on his team in a must-win football game. But you're right, Craig. I mean, the offensive line has been bad all year. Jake Brendel, not a starting caliber center in the NFL. I can say the same thing about a couple of other starters on the offensive line
Aaron
as
Banks,
well. Colt McKivitz. Those are the two I was thinking of. There are a lot of issues that this team has to address this offseason because this season was an absolute undeniable failure. And that's on multiple fronts. On multiple fronts. There is no denying that. Craig, appreciate your enthusiasm. You are 100% right, and we've addressed many of the things that you brought up.
The toilet bowl.
They are headed to the toilet bowl. They're going to go from first place in their division to last place.
So do we flush it and empty the septic tank out this year?
Yes.
You're going to have to, right, in the offseason.
Yes, you have to.
Clean that puppy out.
You got
Start to. Start a stank.
I don't know what the other option is for the 49ers at this point. And it's going to be a really interesting offseason ahead. They still got 3 games left. You got the Dolphins, and then you've got the Lions. And I see this on the Comcast Business text line as well, the 650 talking about a path to the playoffs. There is still a path to winning the division, believe it or not, because the teams atop the division have 8 wins. If they lose out, the Niners win out. The Niners would have 9 wins. Those teams would have 8. So there is a chance that the Niners could still win the NFC West. But it is very, 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 very unlikely because you need every result to go your way the rest of the season for those teams and for the Niners. So not great, but it is certainly possible. Sterling, I'm not even going to ask for game balls in this one because it was that bad of a performance on the offensive end. The one thing I will say before we get on out of here is it was it was just so good to see Dre Greenlaw play football once again, and I missed watching that dude fly around and to see him alongside Fred Warner, even though Fred's playing on a fractured ankle. It was good to see the best linebacker duo in the NFL play next to each other once again for at least a half of football. And even if the rest of this season is bad and they lose the final 3 games, I will take solace in potentially watching Dre Greenlaw play 3 more games this year.
2025, it can't come fast enough.
Yeah.
Fred, Christian McCaffrey, Dre Greenlaw.
Maybe. I mean, they got to sign Greenlaw this offseason.
Oh, they'll do it. They saw what happened tonight. The revitalization process has begun, Mark, with the loss against the Rams 12-6.
Oh, I hope
this is the start of something new.
I hope you're right. All right. That's all the time we got for tonight. But make sure you stay locked on 95.7 The Game all day tomorrow. What, it's 11 o'clock, so we got 6 hours from now when Spadoni takes over for the pregame show, and then Bonte and Shasky, the morning roast, 6 to 10. Steiny and Goo, 10 to 2. Willard and Dibs from 2 to 6. And then Sterling and I will be back for the football hour, 6 to 7 tomorrow night. So it's football all day tomorrow.
Talking
on
to DeVondre Campbell the whole time, just for Craig.
Yeah, there
just
you go, Craig. Tune in, Craig. Tune in from 6 to 7.
Trench Warfare and DeVondre Campbell.
We will be talking more about DeVondre Campbell, I am sure. Okay, that's all of the time we got today. For Sterling Bennett, for Kyle Madsen, for Cam Williams, for Steven Risotto, my name is Mark Randy, signing off. A rough loss for the Niners, but we appreciate all you for tuning in. We'll talk tomorrow here on 95.7 The Game.